Welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Morning Live from Fresh Fire Church. Today's message from Pastor Adam will encourage and strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, let's join the service.
Hallelujah. Don't go quiet on me now. It's Resurrection Sunday. A quiet church is a dead church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I figured when the doctor said to me Tuesday, he said, bed rest until I see you next Tuesday. I said, it's Easter. He said, bed rest means no preaching. I thought, That's what you think. So we're still preaching today. And I know that God will always provide strength and his ability. So I'm not worried. Don't you be worried. All right. Hallelujah. I figure because he got up, I can get up too. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something different today with the word of the Lord. We're not going to go to traditional scriptures. Instead, I want to look at something a little different today. So fasten your seatbelts, get ready, because today is definitely going to be, we're going to look at just a different portion of text. Still the resurrection of Jesus Christ and still the gospel, because it isn't Easter without the gospel. I know by popular opinion, I know that it even made news headlines that some of our large churches throughout the country aren't talking about the blood, aren't going to talk about resurrection today. They've decided that it's too controversial, but the gospel is still true, and so we have to still put forth the gospel. Instead, it'll still be a gospel message today on this day that we celebrate his resurrection, but we're going to look at some different texts today. Is that all right? So I want to look at just two verses of scripture in two different books of the Bible. First, if you have your actual Bible and you can put a thumb in one place, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I know some of y'all have Bibles that light up now, and that's cool. So if you have your iPad or your phone or whatever it is you're using today, you can go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, but then you can also jump over to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, just two verses today. Because today I want to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, pieces of passion. Pieces of passion. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you're ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. You got to preach back to me today. Help me out. Hallelujah. Yes, I plan to. Hallelujah. If it's your first time here, they cheer me on sometimes with Rev on Rev. We love every one of you that are here today, everyone in Facebook and TV land. We love you. Happy resurrection. To all of our regulars that aren't here today and they're elsewhere, we love you too, but you missing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so glad you're here today. If you don't have a home church, you just found one. Because we just love people. And my theory and my theology is that my job is, though you'll find I'm not a perfect man, you'll find that I'll love you right back to life. I said, I'll love you back to life. So I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how ugly your story is. We'll just love you back to life. That's our job as the church. And so you love me and my flaws. I'll love you and yours. And we're going to lead you to Jesus and to walk with him. And he'll guide you and strengthen you. But let's look at this today. For many of us who are believers, had Jesus had never gotten up, we wouldn't have any hope. We wouldn't have any hope today had he not gotten up. But because he got up, I want you to understand, because Jesus got up, what I want to introduce to you today is all of you in this room, you're sitting next to hope today because Jesus got up. Your neighbor is a sign to you that there's hope. Your neighbor is a sign to you today that there's hope. Just me standing in front of you today is a sign that there's hope. Amen. Because Jesus got up, there is hope. Now, I want to read these two verses of Scripture before I get too ahead of myself in Hebrews 6, 19 first. If you don't have a Bible or something that lights up, we'll put it up there for you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6, 19. Look at this. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Oh, my God. Somebody better help me today because I don't know. This is one of those scriptures that from my Pentecostal background, it could make me go a little, old school.
It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Oh, I'm just so thankful that there's a hope, and it is sure, and it is steadfast. How many of you know that there's a lot of things right now in our life that is not sure, and it is not steadfast? Our nation is not sure, and it is not steadfast, right? Our employment is not sure and steadfast. People are not sure and steadfast. But this scripture says that we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Okay, hang on. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Check this out. Oh, yes. I love to hear little babies crying. Amen. Parents, don't you freak out. We don't care. Let them make noise. Let them run the aisles. We're just glad they're here. Hallelujah. Come on. There are some parents that are watching online praying and believing that their baby would cry in the hospital room. So can you just thank God that that baby's crying right now? Amen. Come on, somebody. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Oh, hallelujah. He's trying to get me going over here. Yeah. Look at this. To whom? Verse 3 of Acts chapter 1. To whom also he shewed himself alive. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion. Now, if you like to underline, write in your Bible, or take notes, passion is what you're going to want to pay attention to. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Here we go. I choose the scripture today because it says after his passion. Notice he did not say after his crucifixion or after his resurrection, but he literally said after his passion. Now, in many of our churches, unless you come from a Catholic background, many of us have never heard of this day or this time of year expressed as his passion. Those of you who have some Catholic roots, you've heard it referred to as Passion Week. We refer to it as Holy Week. Uh-huh. I'm choosing this today because it's not usually in our vocabulary to see his death, burial, and resurrection expressed to you and I as his passion. You and I see it much different. When we think of the description and we read the description of what happens to Jesus on the cross, we see it as awful. We see it as horrific. When some of you even dared to watch even the movie Passion of the Christ, it was hard to watch and hard to look at. Come on. And yet, so we choose different words in our vocabulary to describe what this day and this moment in time in history represents for us, but he calls it his passion. He calls it his passion. It's because, and so Easter, therefore, is one of my favorite holidays, of course, but it's one of my favorite holidays because Easter should, in every church, bring us back to the gospel. It brings us back to the blood of Jesus. It brings us back to the burial of Jesus. It brings us back to the resurrection of Jesus. It brings us back, and all of those controversial words, yeah, I know, all those words that might offend people are all in Scripture, and it's not the same if we don't look at it for what it is. But this text, the real truth of his death, burial, and resurrection brings us back to the gospel. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The church is not just another good organization. I need you to know that. The church is an organization, but there are many organizations that do good things. We as an organization do distributions of food and clothing, and we help our community, and we reach out to them. And when you look around, you wonder, how in the world can we do all that we do and serve the thousands that we serve? And we're not a mega church. It's because of him. It's because of the gospel of Jesus that is at work. That's why. And so while there are organizations that do good things, I want you to know something, that there are organizations that feed the hungry, and there are organizations that do great things, that serve underserved communities and all of that, and outreach into our community is great. but it is what we do. But if what we do is not rooted and grounded in the preaching of the gospel, then we lose our distinction as the church. Hear what I just said. If what we do is not rooted and grounded in the preaching of the gospel, we lose our distinction as the church, because the gospel is everything. Yeah, some of you got that. I said the gospel is everything. You've heard me say a church that doesn't reach its city is not a church, it is a country club. And we have enough of those. We got enough of the Lions Club and the Women's Auxiliary, and we got enough of all the things that we do like that. And so a church that doesn't reach its city is a country club. I'm coming back to his passion. Just bear with me. The Bible says in the book of Romans, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So it's the power of God to complete deliverance. It's the power of God that helps us. It's because of him and he got up that gives you help. Somebody say help. Yeah, our help cometh from the Lord. And so the Bible says that salvation belongs to the Lord. So if what we are doing is not rooted and grounded in the gospel, then what we're doing is no different than just being a good organization. Are you hearing me? We're just being a good organization. Why would any of you and I, why would you want to be any other good organization when you can be the church? Why would any of us want to be just any other good organization when we could just be the church? And so my concern today is that little by little, I think that the church is losing piece by piece and little by little the real message and ministry of the church. Did you hear what I just said? I know there's a cute little baby walking through, but hear what I said. I said, little by little, I believe that we are losing, little by little and piece by piece, the real message and ministry of the church. A lot of churches are preaching about favor and about the seven blessings of God, and a lot of churches emphasize on who has the most followers, and a lot of preachers are more worried about who has a bigger Facebook following than the next one, and preachers now are posting pictures in front of their Bentley instead of in front of an altar. And we've made it about who we know and who's the fairest of them all the things that really don't matter anymore. Amen. Preachers posting pictures showing off their house and how blessed they are. Amen. Glory to God. But there's something more important that we understand through Scripture than all of that. It's great that we're blessed. It's great that we have the favor of God, and I thank God for his favor, and I thank God for his blessings. But what we really need to be able to be glad about and celebrate today is that I'm glad that he has made my sins whiter than snow. We have to come back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that I serve a Savior that was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities, and that my chastisement was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed, yeah. And so I'm glad that for me that I live in Christ, and even to die is gain. Are you hearing me? It means that either way, I am victorious. It means even if I leave this earth, I'm still victorious. Why? Because I'm saved. Some of you are still with me. Because I'm blood washed and born again. Because I am his and he is mine, there are certain benefits that belong to you and I. There's a certain stability I have simply because I've been made born again. Stability. We're no longer just children tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but there's a stability because we're rooted and grounded in the gospel. Paul is telling us in the text that we begin to look at that in God we have a hope that is powerful, that is so powerful that it can grab a hold of your soul and anchor your soul. We have such a hope that it can literally grab a hold of your soul and anchor for your soul. Your soul. Now remember, just quickly, let me remind you, your soul is made up and defined as your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when our will wants to go our own way, we have an anchor that grabs hold of our will.
Somebody better hear me today.
If you're sitting by somebody, look at him and say, hey, he's coming for you. you just don't even know what's about to come your way. Hallelujah. So when you want to do your own will, we have an anchor that will change that course in your life. Hallelujah. I said we have an anchor. Yeah, we have an anchor that when our will wants to do its own thing, we have an anchor that will grab hold of our will. Thank you, Lord. Our soul is our mind or our intellect, and we can be so smart sometimes that I think we're just dumb. Right? But he says even through the word that he has the ability to grab our mind. So when you think like and you feel like you're going to lose your mind, have you ever had God just grab a hold of your mind? When you weren't able to rest in peace, when you weren't able to quiet your mind, God just reached down and grabbed a hold of your mind and said, peace, be still, amen. Sometimes we feel like we're almost on the verge of losing it, but God grabbed your mind. Hear me, that's what Paul's talking about. We have an anchor. We have an anchor that we know the devil comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Paul was reminding us that God is going to leave us. God is not going to leave us at the mercy of a crazy world with a troubled mind and not find a way to help you and I. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You better pay attention today. Don't give me no meek amen. Hallelujah. I said God ain't going to leave you and I in a world to lose our mind without sending some help. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Thank you, Lord. So when your mind threatens to leave you, when your mind even threatens to fail you, you got to remind yourself that God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, but the Bible says of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, you've given me a sound mind. Amen. You don't have to lose your mind. Because he's given us a hope that anchors our soul. Amen. Life can sometimes seem unmanageable. Uh-huh. But my mind can still be sound. Uh-huh. Life can sometimes seem chaotic, but my mind can still be sound. How many of you know if you've ever had anxiety, anxiety will lie to you. Anxiety will lie to you. Let me tell everybody who's ever endured anxiety, depression, or fear, or had negative thoughts. Every thought that you think is not a thought you have to own. Every thought that you think is not a thought that you have to own. You and I have to get to the place where we can discipline ourselves and just say, I refuse to think that. I refuse to think that I am not loved. I refuse to think that way. I refuse to believe that thing about me. I refuse to take my own life because that thought is not my thought, and so I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You see, anxiety and fear and depression, they'll lie to you. So you have to tell yourself that I may be stressed out, but I refuse to be stressed out to the point that I lose my mind. Because Paul reminds us that we have a hope, right? I have a hope, so I refuse to flip out on nobody or because of anybody. I'm not going to lose my mind over you. I have a hope. I refuse to flip out over her or him or them or a marriage or my finances or my job because I have a hope. Uh-huh. Somebody better remember that when you gather around with the family today. I have a hope, so I ain't going to flip out on you. Hallelujah. I ain't flipping out on none of y'all. Hallelujah. Well, we may go through heartache. I may lose my house, or I might even lose my spouse, but I'm not going to lose my mind because I have a hope. Somebody can say, how can you say that so confidently? Because I have an anchor for my soul. We have an anchor for our soul. I got an anchor for my mind. I got an anchor for my will. I got an anchor for my emotions. Come on, somebody. If your emotions have been getting the best of you, you have an anchor. If your depression's been getting the best of you, you have an anchor. Hallelujah. If your fear's been getting the best of you, you have an anchor. If pills have become your best friend, you have an anchor. If alcohol's become your best friend, you have an anchor. Come on, somebody. We have an anchor. Hallelujah. The church today, this church today is full of people who've been through some severe stuff. And if you had not had an anchor, we probably don't know where we'd be. But I want you to understand something. For some of us, we're not here because it's Easter. For some of us, I'm not here to wear a cute dress and a cute bonnet. Y'all like that, wouldn't you? I'm not here just because he rose. I'm not here because we bought some extra Easter flowers, because we changed the cross swag, or because the tomb is up and because the tomb is empty. We're not here for any of that. We're not here for that. I'm not here because I got a raise at work, and I'm not here because we got a new job. I'm not here because of anything like that. Some of us have gone through so much stuff and mess and trouble that victory for us is just getting to be able to be in the house of the Lord today. So for anybody that's ever been through anything, those are the ones saying, yeah, amen, hallelujah. For me this week, victory is just being here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We made it. Are you hearing me? We made it. Hallelujah. You came through it. There were things you thought you'd never get through, but you're here today living and breathing. Amen. Somebody say, I made it. So your presence in this room, my presence in this room, is testament to the fact that God is good all the time. And so our praise today is in part because, hey, I lived another year. That my praise is that the pandemic 4 years ago didn't kill us. 4 years ago, we were having virtual church. Come on. We weren't allowed to gather in church. So the pandemic didn't take you out. You thought it might have. Some of us were on vents and respirators. Amen. But we're here. I made it. Hallelujah. Some of us made it through abuse. Some of us made it through guns put to our head. Some of us made it through addiction. Some of us made it through a traumatic divorce. And so we made it because we have a hope, hallelujah, that we found an anchor. Today it's about the anchor, and we're still standing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I'm still standing. Thank you, Lord. But there's a big misconception that sometimes people have about you and I when we seem to always make it and always come through. Somebody said to me this week, they said, oh boy, he said, you know, I just love you. You're so strong. That's only because they don't see you when you're ready to give up. That's because they don't see you crying yourself to sleep at night. That's because they don't see all of your struggles and all of your heartache. That's because they don't know every detail of your story. And so the biggest misconception that many people think about sometimes, you and I, since we come to church, is that we're just so strong in and of ourselves. When they said to me this week, oh, you are just so strong, I wanted to say, no, you're crazy. You're crazy, because what people fail to understand is that we could have, and we should have, and we almost did quit. Oh, come on. I said we could have, we should have, and we almost did quit. Anybody else ever almost quit? And there have been times where we just gave up. There have been times where we almost quit, but there's something within us that is way beyond me. That every time you get ready to give up or give in or throw your hands in the air, there's something on the inside of you and beyond you that grabs a hold of you and I and takes control of you and I and rocks me steady. Are you hearing me? Our anchor. Let me tell you, it was not me. It is not me in myself that is strong. It is not Buddha or Allah or Muhammad or mind over matter. It is not even yoga that causes me to appear strong. It was Jesus, somebody. Oh, yes, I said it was Jesus. It wasn't any other God that they may celebrate today. It ain't any other fake God. It ain't any other statue that people are worshiping today. It is Jesus. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is our anchor. He is the reason, and all glory goes to Jesus. Amen. And so when lightning was flashing and thunder was clapping and the storms were raging in our life, he anchored my soul. He anchored my soul. He kept my mind. He kept my will. He kept my feet from falling, and he kept my heart from failing, and he kept my nerves from pushing me over the edge. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He kept your blood sugar from pushing you into a coma. Amen. He kept your blood pressure from pushing you into a stroke. Amen. It's got to be Jesus that kept me. Somebody say, it's got to be Jesus. See, I need your help today. I said, it's got to be Jesus. When I was in and out of the doctors and the ERs this week and stuff, I lost it, amen, for a moment on the one doctor. And hallelujah, just for a moment. And the only thing that kept me from literally going all out, losing my mind, was it must have been Jesus. I mean, it must have been Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He kept you, he kept you. The difference between the church and the world is, though we go through some of the same problems and struggles that the world does, the reason we can't get out of, the reason that you and I have the ability to get out of bed and face another day and give God praise in spite of our circumstances is because we have an anchor. Uh-huh. Yeah, we too get tired of fighting. See, there's a misconception of the church that we're just fanatics and that we never get weary in well-doing and that we never get tired. But we do get fatigued in the battle sometimes. Anybody just been weary a time or two or tired and you thought it would never turn around? When is life going to treat you good? Amen. But the truth is that as believers, as Christians, we get tired too. That we get tired of loneliness too. Church folk get lonely too. That church people, we get tired of being betrayed too. Come on, we get tired of being lied on too. Come on, as Christians, we get tired of being lied and misunderstood on also. We get tired of being rejected too. We get tired of having to put a fake smile on. Yeah. But even when we as believers want to lay down, quit, and give up on something, there's something in me that grabs a hold of the reins and controls my mind and strengthens what is left in me. And so when I don't have much left to give, he strengthens what I have left. He holds me together. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He holds me together. He strengthens whatever is left in me. So it brings me to this part that we know him as many things. We know our mighty God. We know our Savior Jesus as many things. We know him as a master. We know that the Bible even describes him as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. We know him as being described as the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We know him being described as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And I could go on and on and on, but Isaiah said something about Jesus that we rarely hear. Isaiah said, he is a nail in a sure place. Isaiah describes him, hear me, Isaiah describes him as he is a nail in a sure place. How many have ever tried to feel around on a wall to put a nail up and you needed to make sure that you put the nail in a sure place? Into a stud. And so you were banging around on the wall trying to find the stud so that whatever you hung on the wall didn't fall to the ground. Oh, he is a nail in a sure place. You know what that means? Let me break it down another way. What it means is you can put weight on him. I said you can put weight on him. It means you can hang up everything that you want to hang up, and he can handle it. He's a nail in a sure place. It means he is trustworthy. It means he's stable. It means he's solid. It means he's strong. It means that he's committed, hallelujah. It means he'll be there today, and he'll be there tomorrow. He's a nail in a sure place. Uh-huh. So when the Roman soldier nailed him to the cross, it was symbolic of the fact that Christ was nailed to or fastened to or committed to the will of the Father for his life. Jesus was committed to the cross. Are you still with me? Oh, good, 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 good. See, if Jesus had not been committed to the cross, you and I wouldn't have a steady place to run to. I said we wouldn't have a steady place to run to. All we would have are things that are movable and changeable and things that are undependable. There's nothing worse than knowing someone who's not dependable. Anybody else ever been frustrated by people who aren't dependable? Hallelujah. They always have something to say, but they never really do what they say. Uh-huh. Not dependable. Jesus ain't like that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. So I'm so thankful that he doesn't change, that I can trust that he is a nail in a sure place, and that I can hang on him, whatever it is that I need to hang on him, that I don't have to carry. He said, cast your burdens or cares upon me. Amen. Because he's more than able to handle it. Hallelujah. Because he was committed to the cause and carried out the commitment with the nails in his hands, in his feet, in the spear in his side. Now we have an anchor for our soul. Thank you, Lord. See, if he never answers another prayer, if he never opens another door for you and I still will praise him because he anchors me. Because he is my landing spot. He's the place I can always come back to. He is a nail in a sure place. I know and I can trust that he'll always be there. See, I think sometimes we just need to take a moment to thank God for Jesus. A nail in a sure place. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrections. Thank you that I have something steadfast in my life that I can always depend upon. Hallelujah. Jesus is the nail. He is the one that holds us together. He's the one that rocks us steady when life gets crazy. Yeah. That's Jesus. He held me. He kept me. Yeah, that's Jesus, friend. He held you and he anchored you. I don't know if you've ever seen a boat that's anchored. You ever watched a video or been to the ocean and you see a boat out there with its anchor thrown? And even if a storm moves in and comes barreling down against that boat, what I love about that analogy is it means that even when the storm moves in, it doesn't mean that you're going to move. It does mean that you may rock about. It does mean you may waver a little bit, but your location is still going to be approximate. Amen. It will only let you, the anchor will only let you move so far. Amen. See, I think sometimes we just need to thank God that his anchor only lets you do so much. That his anchor will only let you go so far. Hallelujah. That my anchor held me steadfast. That my anchor kept me close. That my anchor only left me shift so far. And on this Easter Sunday morning, maybe you and I need to give thanks to the Roman soldier that nailed Jesus to the cross. Because when he fastened his hands to the tree, he also fastened a place of stability for Adam Lawson's life. He also fastened a place of stability for Renita Crable's life. Amen. You need to put your name in there. See, when the Roman soldier began to nail him to the tree, he also fastened a place of stability for you and I. That's what I said. In an ever-changing, moving world, when we can't depend on nobody or nothing, we have an anchor for our soul. Amen. And the anchor is Jesus. Hallelujah. See, I might shift and I might rift and I might rock and I might even reel sometimes, but I don't need to sweat it, because the same nail that held him to the tree is the same nail that holds me. Oh my God, come on. Are we alive today or not? I said the same nail that held him to the tree is the same nail that holds you and me. It gave me stability. Oh my God, oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have an anchor for my soul. I've lost some things. I've lost some people. I've even lost some possessions, but I've landed on my feet because I have an anchor. Thank you, And so in spite of the violent winds and the howling rain and the things that have come through my life and how life at times has ripped things right out of my hand and ripped opportunities out of my hand and even ripped dreams right out of my hand, and at times when life has even ripped visions out of our hands, I can tell you that God secured me in the middle of it all. He secured me in the middle of it all. See, if you know what it is to hang on by a nail, you ought to thank God for the nail. Amen. When you know what it is to hang on by a thread, you ought to be able to thank God today for the nail. Hallelujah. The nail that helped me to keep my wits about me. The nail that held me in the middle of the storm. The nail, amen, that anchored my soul. Hallelujah. When I thought I was going to lose everything. When you thought you might not make it through the night or make it through the week. An anchor for your soul. He brought you through to this day. He brought you through to this day. But more than that, it gets me right to where I want to be. More than that, I thank God for his love. Because his love, the truth be told, with or without a nail, I know that his love for you and I could have held him on that cross. Did you hear what I said? Even if there were not any nails, his love for you and I would have held him to the cross. My God, my God. Think about it, that kind of love. He was committed to loving you and I that much. The love of God for you is stronger than any nail. That's why he could have called 10,000 angels to get him down off of that cross, but he was committed to his love for you. Oh my God, how we've lost our commitment of love. We've lost our commitment of love for God, but we've lost our commitment of love for one another. I wonder if there's anybody in here that you've been tempted to lose your commitment to love somebody. Woo! The Bible lets us know that he took the nail and he bled and he died. And he called Calvary his passion. See, we call it Calvary, or we refer to it as Golgotha's Hill, or we refer to it as his death, burial, and resurrection. But the text that we read refers to this as his passion. And so when I think of passion and what I believe passion to be, it kind of makes me smile. But what he calls passion, it hurts my heart. What he calls passion grieves us. Why would you call the crucifixion of a good man passion? Go with me. Stay with me. We're getting right to where we need to be. We're going to close soon. I said, why would he call the crucifixion of a good man passion? A good man. Perfect man. They stripped him and beat him and bruised him, battered his body and pressed a crown of thorns on his head until blood and sweat mingled together and blurred his vision. All that to a good man, a perfect man. But Jesus stayed focused and carried his own weighty cross up a hill called Golgotha. Carried his own weighted cross to that place called Golgotha. He was naked and exposed, and he died like any other dog in the street, and yet he calls it passion. He calls it passion. He calls it passion, hanging on the cross, bloodied, battered, and bruised, bleeding from everywhere, exposed. He calls it passion. See, I call it awful. I call it horrible. I call it unfair, and I even call it an injustice. And I cry when I think about it, but yet he calls it passion. I want you to understand, make no mistake about it. Nobody took his life. I know sometimes we interpret it that way. Make no mistake about it. Nobody took his life. He laid down his life because of love. No. I know they like to believe they took his life. And I know all of hell was wringing their hands and enjoying the moment when he died. But even hell did not take his life. He gave his life for love. Oh, what love he has for me that he would give his life. See, it was love that made him do it. It was love that made him do it. Love drove the nails in his hands. See, I've saved up my energy all week for this. Oh, I've been on bed rest, listening to the doctor, ain't going nowhere, just in bed, chilling, amen, having a good time. And I just kept praying all week. I said, God, ain't no way I ain't preaching Resurrection Sunday. Ain't no way, God, you're going to allow this ticker to work. You're going to allow me to breathe, to be able to preach. And after that's all over with, if I can't breathe or none of that stuff, it's good. But I'm going to save up my energy for this. I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've been saving up it all for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I figured if his love could do that, surely I could do this. Hallelujah. See, he was willing to endure what he had to because his love for you. See, so if you've ever felt unloved, you need to look at the cross. If you ever felt unloved, you need to look at the cross. If you ever felt like you weren't needed, you need to look at the cross. Because, see, the cross shows you just how much he wanted you. The cross shows you just how much he loved you. And every one of you under the sound of this, my voice today, he loved you so much that blood poured from the inside out. He loved you so much that the insides hung on the outside of his body. He loved you so much that even as he hung with cracked lips, amen, they put a sponge of vinegar on his lips and they pierced his side. They nailed his hands and his feet and with every wound and every strike to his body was his love for you.
Thank you, Lord.
See, these things I'm describing to you are pieces of his passion.
Thank you, Lord.
See, I need you to begin to see this, that these are pieces of his passion, that these are gifts that he gave you. See, I know when Christmas rolls around, we're all eager and excited for the gifts that people get us and the things that have our name tags on it. And yet Easter, this moment, Resurrection Sunday, more than Easter, he gave you gifts. I need you to understand with me in these final moments that he left gifts for you at the cross. Oh, he left gifts for you at the cross. I'm going to help you understand them. They were wrapped in the most beautiful passion that you will ever see. The cross itself, of course, was a gift. The nails and the crown of thorns and the garments they rolled the dice on and that the soldiers came and took away were gifts. See, even his clothing were gifts to die for. They're all pieces of his passion. He left a gift for you. He left a vinegar-soaked sponge. He left his significant and seamless robe. It was probably his finest earthly possession. His garment can symbolize character, and just like the robe being seamless, his character was seamless. It was consistent, it was flawless, it was steady, it was perfection that was until he hung on the cross. And he would exchange his perfect character for the garment of humiliation. humiliation of nakedness, humiliation of failure, for everyone to see sin, your sin and my sin. Are you still with me? He bore the sin of every liar, yet he never lied. He bore the sin of every manipulator, though he never manipulated. He bore the sin of every murderer, though he never murdered. He bore the sin of every adulterer, but yet he never was an adulterer. He bore the sin of failure, though he never failed. He bore the sin of every sinner, but because he did it for love. Because he bore the sin of the world, he bore the collective weight of the world. So today, church, if you haven't taken the opportunity to open your gifts, I want you and I to take some time today to search the scene of the crime, to search the foot of the cross and the hill of Golgotha, because it is rich with gifts for you. The gift of healing is there. The gift of freedom is there. The gift of forgiveness is there. The gift of redemption is there. The gift of deliverance is there. Then there is the touch of velvet dirt that was moist from the blood that was shed from the Lamb. See, we overlooked that, but it was a gift. It was a gift. Dirt, but it was covered by the blood. Dirt, see, we were made from the dust of the earth. I hope somebody can see what I'm trying to tell you. See, even that dirt that even humanity, the dirt represents my humanity, but he covered it with the blood that flowed down from his body and dripped upon the hill of Golgotha. It was him saying, I am being killed for your sins, for your healing, for your miracle, for your deliverance. See, all of it was the anchor. Everything I'm describing to you is the anchor. It was the nail, and all the other things that I've pointed out to you were the pieces of his passion. See, I'm closing, but I have to tell you about the gospel. It wouldn't be Easter. It wouldn't be Resurrection Sunday if I didn't remind you of this, if I didn't give you this gospel message. It is an Easter till I tell you that he died until the ground began to tremble. That he died until the earth began to shake. That he died until the sun refused to shine. He died on the hill until the veil was rent on another hill. Amen. He died until the centurion said, surely, surely this must have been the Son of God. Hallelujah. He died until law fell into grace. He died until righteousness and peace kissed one another. He died until every curse was broken. I said he died until every spell was broken. He died until every witch's curse could no longer hold you. Hallelujah. He died until he broke generational curses that try to hold you. He died until he redeemed us from sin. He died to snatch you and your family out of drugs. He died to deliver you from every bondage you could ever find yourself in. And he died until Friday's tragedy became Sunday's triumph. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, what I'm telling you is that's love. That's love. That's love. And some of you are giving up on love. Sometimes we give up on people, but see, to know Jesus is to love like Jesus. Oh my God. I said to know Jesus is to love like Jesus. Hallelujah. And today, this day that we celebrate, that we honor and we shout about and we dance about and we get excited about, this day is early one Sunday morning. He got up. The tomb represents that he got up. Hallelujah. He got up. And the Bible says that when he got up, he got up saying, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I am he who was dead, but behold, I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. So what I love about all of this is all of that means is because whatever has you and I locked up, whatever has your mind locked up, whatever has tried to lock up your purpose, whatever has tried to lock up and make you feel powerless, hallelujah, he has the power to get you out. Hallelujah. I said he has the power to get you out because he rose again. You too can rise again. Hallelujah. That's what I was singing earlier. Yes, I'll rise again and I'll come again. Hallelujah. All that this represents, everything that I just read to you, everything that I just quoted to you, all of the scripture that we used is that we have a nail in a sure place. He is my anchor. He is the one place and the one person that I can run to and that I will know will always be there. Hallelujah. And on this day, because Jesus got up, I can get up too. Because Jesus came out, I can come out too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you need to remember a few weeks ago the word that came forth, rise up. Rise up. Amen. That was a prophetic word to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you can get up if you want to get up. That you can get out if you want to get out. There's still power in his name. There's still wonder-working power in the blood. And the cross is one of the most recognizable symbols around the world. And I know some of us think we're real cute wearing our cross necklaces and jewelry, and that's all good and fine. You wear them. I ain't rebuking you for it. I'm just saying that we've normalized it so much that we've forgotten about the power. Amen. That is still in the cross of Christ. See, more than the cross I wear around my neck, when I see the cross, it's more than just a symbol or a piece of jewelry. It represents light. I remember the old hymn that says, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. See, it represents light as an anchor for our soul. It represents a nail in a sure place. It was that that held me through afflictions and trials. It has held me through loss, and it has held me through pain. It has held me through lonely days. Church, Jesus will hold you while you fight your way through. Jesus can hold you while you fight your way through chemo. Jesus can hold you while you fight your way through a divorce. Jesus can hold you while you go through a financial crisis. Jesus can hold you while you fight your way through an addiction. Jesus can hold you while you raise your children. In order for the cross of Christ to be the cross of your life, though, you have to bring something to the hill also. Did you hear what I said? After everything I've said, in order for the cross to do for you what I'm trying to explain to you that it can do for you, it's more than just that he died there. You have to bring something to the hill too. And in order to receive the gifts that he leaves for us on Golgotha's hill, when you come, he says, I died so that you could give me what you're carrying. I died to help a broken relationship. I died to take your addiction. I died to take your disease. I died to be the repairer of the breach. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I died to be your redeemer. And so in order for you and I to fully come and receive what he has done for you and I, he says, I need you to bring something to me too. See, you can sit there and you can observe the cross and you can study the cross. And I know I like to even analyze, and I'm a student of the word, and I love to study the word, and I know it backwards and forwards and quote a scripture and I can tell you where to find it. I know all of those things, but beyond all that, it's not just enough to analyze the cross. The cross really will never have power for you until you leave something there. You can never fully embrace what the cross can do for you. So it's only until you embrace it that it has the power to change your life. So we know what Jesus brought to the cross through his nail-pierced hands. He brought healing and deliverance and forgiveness. And With his wounds he offered you and I our freedom from our transgressions, and the stripes on his back he offered healing, and his torn skin promised acceptance. His blood promised eternal life. So my question for you right now is, what are you going to bring to the cross? What are you going to bring to the cross? If you can, and you have the ability, every person in this room, stand to your feet. I feel His glory. I feel His glory in this place. What will you bring to the cross? See, today I can give you a few ideas that you can leave your sin at the cross. You can come and leave your failures at the cross. You can leave your shame on the cross. You can leave your disappointments at the cross. You can leave even bitterness at the cross. You can lay your marriage at the cross. You can bring your family to the cross. You can leave every sad moment. You can leave every bad moment. You can leave your anxiety, and you can leave your bad habits. You can leave your mistakes. And you can leave them at the foot of the cross, because there's room at the cross for you. That old hymn says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. So everyone under the sound of my voice in these final moments of us being together this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, I don't care what it is, it don't have to be sin. It can be your anxiety. It can be your fear. It can be your worry. It can be your anger. I'm calling on you to leave it at the cross. If you're worried, leave it at the cross. If you got a bad habit, leave it at the cross. If your family is falling apart and all that you are here standing is holding pieces, bring the pieces to the cross and say, God, I can't make whole what I know that you can make whole. And so this is my altar call to you today. I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to labor. I don't want you to worry about your title. I don't worry about who knows you. I'm telling you, if you have anything that you say, God, I've been carrying it, but I've been carrying something that you said that you would carry because you were a nail in a sure place. God, I'm going to bring what I've been carrying and hang it on the nail that I know can handle the weight. Church, my altar call today is, will you dare to put the weight that you are carrying up on the nail in the sure place? So don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. I don't care what it is. It could be anxiety, fear, worry. Maybe it is sin. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe I don't care what it is today. This is my altar call, and it's for everyone under the sound of my voice. Everybody watching online. Everybody watching on television right now. Bring what you have been carrying and bring it and hang it on a nail that we know to be in a sure place, hallelujah. On this Resurrection Sunday, what you've been worrying about, what's caused you to lose sleep at night, hallelujah, hallelujah. A nail in a sure place, a nail in a sure place, hallelujah. See, there's more coming, there's more coming, there's more coming, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you leave here if you've been walking and carrying something you know darn well you shouldn't be carrying. Don't leave here and then go home and worry some more. Don't leave here if you've didn't and make decisions on your own. If you didn't first try to hang it on the nail that can hold everything that you've been trying to carry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And of course, if you don't know Jesus, Don't you dare hesitate to get down to this altar and say, I need to know him. I need to know him. I need to know that he's my Savior. That's what this day is all about. Don't you hesitate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need to leave something, bring it to the cross. Because if you allow it, the pieces of his passion can change your life. The pieces of his passion can change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Before I pray for you, for every person that is not right with Jesus and needs to know him as their Savior, we're going to pray it out loud and real loud. Hallelujah. And if you haven't moved from your seat, don't wait another moment. I'm asking you to come here because if he was able to go to the cross and be crucified naked, amen, surely you can walk a few feet to the altars of God and say, God, I'm going to give you this in exchange for what you did for me on the cross. Hallelujah. And so if you know you're not right, we're going to get right right now. Hallelujah. Yes. See, there's still people coming. Hallelujah. Still, see, we're going to leave it open for another 30 seconds. If you need to give something to God, if you need to hang it on a nail in a short place, bring it to him, bring it to him, bring it to him now. Now. Hallelujah. 15 seconds, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The real power of the cross. Remember, you can't embrace it until you bring something to the cross. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray. First, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of forgiveness and salvation to get right with God. And if that don't pertain to you, just keep seeking him. But for everyone else, I want us to pray this out loud and real loud, and you're going to just repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, I need you. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that died on the cross for me. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again for me. And my forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whiter than snow. I receive your salvation now with gladness. I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the rest of you stay right where you are. Yeah. The rest of you stay right where you are. And if you're standing near someone, you can touch them on the shoulder. We don't always grab hands because since COVID, we don't want nobody getting sick. But touch their shoulder, lay a hand, make a point of connection if you can. Because I believe if God touches one, he'll touch everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now. If you're standing here, you've brought something to the cross. If you're standing here, you've brought something to the cross. And the real power of the resurrection, the real power of the cross happens when you bring something to it. So now I believe this is a divine encounter. That whatever you've been carrying ends today. Remember, I said in the beginning, I'm going to speak to someone right now. Remember, I said in the beginning that we have hope. Maybe you're standing here because you lost hope. And I, like you, know what it is to, I know what it is to still preach, but have lost my hope. Maybe you brought your anxiety or your pain or your fear. Maybe you brought your sickness. Maybe you just brought your weariness. But I want you to receive the fullness of the cross today. And I want you to leave at this altar today as I get ready to pray for you. What you've been carrying that he never intended for you to carry, because he is a nail in a sure place. He wants you. He went to the cross so that you in this moment can put weight on him. He died on the cross, breathless and
breathless and bleeding, so that today you could stand at the foot of the cross and put the weight back on him that he went to the cross to carry for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I sense your anointing and I sense your power. Father, I'm simply going to ask that most of us that are here this morning have responded to this altar call. And God, my prayer right now in the name of Jesus is, Father, that God, that you will just do, and that God, that you will accomplish everything that you did on the cross in your people right now. God, I pray, let this be a day of resurrection. That God, the tomb that they have been living in, that God, they will come forth out of. God, the darkness and depression and anxiety and the fear and the worry and the despair and the brokenness, God, and the addiction and the affliction and the sickness and the pain that, God, that we've been carrying, we give it to you. My nail in a sure place. We give it to you, everything that we've been carrying, everything that we've been worrying, every struggle, every fear. And I'm forever grateful that you're my nail in a sure place, that you are my hope and that you are my anchor. And I thank you today, God, because you got up. We can get up to. I thank you today that your resurrection power will manifest in our lives. Your resurrection power will manifest in broken homes. Your resurrection power will manifest in our broken bodies. Your resurrection power will manifest in our broken minds and our broken emotions, because we have an anchor for our soul. So thank you. My nail in a sure place. An anchor for my soul. Thank you today for the pieces of your passion for my life. Now I release to you what I came in carrying. And I declare this as my resurrection day. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of depression. I'm coming out of worry. I'm coming out of fear. I'm coming out of addiction. I'm coming out of brokenness. I'm coming out of everything that's been falling apart. I bring you my pieces. And I leave your house today. Whole. Because there was room at the cross for me. And I bless your name. And I honor you today in Jesus, your powerful name. Amen.